How many?
How many hackers does it take to screw in a
project? How many hackers is... Anyway. Anyway. We got to get one. And I think Steve Rambam, you could probably count on a couple of fingers all the Hope speakers who have spoken at every single Hope since 1994. 20 years, we go back with Steve Rambam. He's a not only a legend in his own mind, he's a legend to all of us. And it's always guaranteed to be a jaw-dropping session of all the info, all the docs on you that are dropped by corporations. This is just private sector stuff. Government stuff would really blow you away. But in any case, Steve's going to give you a little less than 3 hours of jaw-dropping entertainment and fear-mongering.
Tinfoil hat wearing.
It's incredibly detailed. I saw some of the slides earlier. So I don't really have to give any more introductions to Steve Rambam. Oh, by the way, you want to mention during your talk the world premiere of your TV series that just came out? So he'll mention that. It was next door a few hours ago. Give us a great presentation. Thanks. Steve Rambam.
Okay, so if I was going to have to do this like a... I'm telling you, this is... I'm cursed. I'm cursed. It really is. Okay, what do I need to do here? Now I need, like... I think I've broken... Okay. By the end of the day, every bit of hardware will be damaged. All right. Yes, my name is Steve Rambam, and this was going to be an extremely rapid talk because for the first time in a couple of Hopes, I wanted to actually leave enough time for Q&A. Now I'm going to have to do this like a speed freak. I've been giving this talk for 18 years. 20 years ago, I was on a panel that covered this topic. 18 years ago, I started with the Privacy is Dead talks. This is my eighth or ninth Privacy is Dead talk. And privacy is now beyond dead. It's a little sad to me that it took an Edward Snowden to make everyone realize that every bit of their life, their digital life, their details of their friends, their family, their likes, their dislikes, where they go, what they do, what books they read, who they associate with, what their politics are, has drip by drip by drip been gathered into databases. I've been speaking about this for some time, but I think Edward Snowden has managed to provide much more graphic examples than I have. I used to point out that with any one piece of information, it's now possible to expand that one piece of information, whether it's a license plate, a telephone number. Today, just taking a picture of your face is enough. And it can be expanded to your name, your address, your phone, your date of birth, your social security number. There is no person in this room from the United States person in this room who I can't gather this information on them within less than 90 seconds. And if you don't believe me, come to me after the talk and I'll show you. I really will. Not just the basic information, how they vote, what religion they follow, what their politics are, but their medical history, what books they read, what music they listen to, what they do for a living, their skills, their salary, their employment, lawsuits, criminal prosecution, everything you've purchased, everywhere you've gone, and more than that, thanks to something called predictive profiling, where you're going to be next week and what you're probably going to be doing. The reason for this is self-contributed data. It's not the NSA gathering up your metadata, which, by the way, in the great scheme of things, is a joke compared to what's out there on you. This is not because the CIA or Big Brother. This is because everything that you do you talk about, you tweet about, you post, you Facebook. Every iota of your life, you put out there. Now, I have to tell you, as a fellow citizen, it creeps me out. I'm a little older than most of the people in this room, except for the senior citizens in the front row. But you're here because your eyesight is bad and you want to see the screen. But except, for the most part, I'm a generation older than most of the people in this room. When I was, I feel like I should say something like, when I was hacking, I had to walk 5 miles in the snow with an acoustic coupler to find a payphone. The truth is, when I was your age, you didn't share this sort of stuff. There was an expression when I was a kid, damn, I wouldn't have told that. Now there's nothing that fits within that description. People talk about their sexual activities and their drug use and the crimes. I can tell you when I do an investigation, a criminal investigation, the first thing I do is I go to Facebook. You would be amazed how many people pose with the proceeds of their crimes or put up videos of rapes they've committed. It's not funny if you're the rape victim, so don't laugh. People share everything. I don't get it. As an investigator, thank you very much. But as a fellow citizen, as a friend, as a colleague, it creeps me out. Deviant, by the way, that's one of the great benefits of speaking at Hope. You hear from guys named Deviant. Deviant sent me a great example. Last week, there was an article in Wired magazine talking about new interfaces to the IMAP email system. I mean, the most boring article you've ever read in your life. But apparently some people got very excised over it and had a troll fight. And one guy did what you should never... There's two things you should never say on the internet. Nazi or Luddite. And they called this poor schmuck who, unfortunately for him, had the name You Don't Know Me, called somebody a Luddite. Well, apparently he did know him. Your name is so-and-so, and you live in Portland, Oregon. You're pretty shit at triathlons, and last year you humiliated yourself by coming in whatever out of 183. I'm sure your mom, so-and-so, wouldn't be proud to talk about it in her weekly gossip circles. She prefers to think about the days when she lived in Glendale or Pasadena. Instead of wasting time on a short-sighted son, at least you managed to trick so-and-so into marrying you, eh? By the way, she should update her blog, such and such a URL. And it goes on like that for pages. And he ends. So the next time somebody talks about the importance of privacy, you should probably listen. Imagine what people can find on you, blah, blah, blah. And then one last zing, his stupid cowboy costume. Listen, this is a guy with no special skills. He got insulted. It was a troll versus troll fight. And that's it. His whole life was on the internet. It's really this easy. And if it's this easy for a guy in the middle of the night commenting on a Wired article, imagine what I can get on you. People don't care. People put everything on the internet. You know what? By the way, the guy over here, for those of you who are lawyers, this is a drunken lawyer in a rabbit suit. Which to me, anything that gives me the opportunity to say drunken lawyer in a rabbit suit, great. People share everything. I just made love. This is a thing. This is an app. And by the way, here's the locations. And but I have to tell you, if you zoom in, half of these locations are parking lots. Seriously, try it out. Okay, I saved the sickest one for last. PMS buddy. This is a thing. You want to warn your friends, don't talk to me for the next 5 to 7 days. But here's the sickest thing. Is my pointer working? Okay, well, I need one of those like green helicopter knocking ones. But okay, if you look over there, PMS buddy, now on Facebook. The little seal there. Great, so people look in, they look at your Facebook page, they want to send you a note, oh, I better wait a few days. Okay. Now, I hope I made my point. Hey, thank you, brother. Okay. Jesus, this is like an... This is going to, like, burn a hole through the screen. Okay. Thank you. I'm actually going to use this thing. Okay. Now to be serious. Why should you give a shit? Okay? This is no longer a G-rated DVD. Why should you give a shit? Here's why you should give a shit. Because you never can tell what's waiting around the corner in your life. And I say that as a guy who is probably the only one in this room to have been removed from a Hope conference in handcuffs. Look, in the 1930s, people who were left-wing, communist, anti-Hitler people were the good guys. In the 1950s, the same people were put in jail for what they did in the 1930s. There's a book I recommend that you read called Three Felonies a Day. I rarely give shout-outs to books, but it's an amazing book. It talks about how everybody in this country inadvertently commits three prosecutable crimes a day. It's really true. You can't, you maybe not three, but one a week is enough. I can tell you that if I, as an investigator, target you, I will find something you can be arrested for within a couple of weeks of looking. Changed attitudes about dissent. When I was growing up, people understood that you're allowed to make a mistake. You get a reboot in your life. If you're a teenager, it's your job to screw up. It's your job to do something stupid. There's no sense of humor anymore. I can tell you that the U.S. Department of Justice is not about prosecuting bad guys, arresting bad guys anymore. And it pains me to say this as their colleague. It's about winning and losing. Once you are brought to the Department of Justice and arrested, it's all about making you plead guilty. 98.5% of all people arrested and prosecuted by the federal justice system in this country plead guilty. 98.5%. I can promise you 98.5% are not in fact guilty. The minute you go into, there's a saying in federal law enforcement, you can beat the charge, maybe, you can beat the charge, you can't beat the ride. And what they do to you is from the very first moment, they begin to destroy you. They confiscate all your money as proceeds of a criminal enterprise. So you can't afford an attorney, you can't afford an expert, you can't afford me. You can't afford bail. You sit in jail. You can't assist with your defense. As far as assisting with your defense, they don't give you the evidence until a nanosecond before the trial. And they give you an offer that is so widely disparate on how much time you might spend in jail. If you plead guilty, you get 18 months, you get your money back. If you don't plead guilty, in the case of Aaron Swartz, 35 years. Plead to something, maybe you get probation, or go to jail. Let me tell you, it is bullying of the worst order. And I want to tell you what was done to Aaron Swartz, and he and I had a lot of mutual friends, one of whom I'm sure is in this room. I haven't seen her today, but she knows who she is. What they did to Aaron Swartz was drive him to suicide. They did the equivalent of kicking a little harmless puppy because he was barking too loud. What did this kid do? He went into a broom closet with a bicycle helmet over his face. That's the best he could do to be a master criminal. And he was facing 35 years in jail because he had the temerity to hire an attorney and spend the money that he made and fight. If you fight, they don't care if you're innocent at that point. They have to crush you. They have to make an example out of you. And as I always am willing to point out, I'm a right-wing guy. I'm a very right-wing guy. I'm a very pro-law enforcement guy. I work with federal law enforcement all the time, not the FBI, but with pretty much every other agency, and most of them are great guys, most of them. I don't agree with a lot of what Mr. Snowden said earlier today, but he's right about one thing. The culture in this country has changed for the worse. He's absolutely right about that. And assuming that you're a good guy and you're a good girl and you're doing things for the right reasons and you think you haven't committed a crime, it's not good enough anymore. You cannot allow yourself to be put in a position where you can be made a victim for no good reason. You have the Obama White House asking for details of people who opposed its policies. You have Operation Choke Point, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. Next slide. Most of all, storage is damn near free now. And I can tell you that every governmental agency saves everything. And every governmental agency hoovers up everything. I do it as an investigator. Once you put a piece of information out there, it's not yours, you don't own it anymore, and you can't get it back. You can't. You can't change your mind. You can't say, you know what, I changed my mind. I want privacy. I want anonymity. And we're going to be talking about how difficult it is to be anonymous and to be an anonymous whistleblower. It's a real job. 1939, this was a Stop Hitler rally. This photo was taken by the NYPD Red Squad. This photo was used to go after the people in the rally 15 years later. What you do today might bite you in the ass 15 years from now. Operation Choke Point is the best example I could come up with. Do me a favor. Here's your homework assignment for tonight from Professor Steve. After this talk, go and learn everything you can about Operation Choke Point. This is not black helicopter stuff. This is from the Washington Post. The Obama administration has been pressuring banks to shut down financial services for absolutely legal industries that it disagrees with, to cut off the oxygen to these industries, hence Operation Choke Point. The ability to destroy legal industries through secret actions to deprive them of banking services has obvious political consequences. You think? Here's some examples. Ammo sales, coin dealers, dating services, escort services. All right, look, escort services isn't the most savory service, but it's legal. And they are shutting off services to legal industries that they disagree with. Huh? Whatever. Lottery sales, pharmaceutical sales, pornography. Listen, racist material. Would I like to see racist material disappear? Sure. Not as much as I'd like to see freedom of speech remain intact. You don't like what somebody says? Ignore him, put your foot in his ass, but you don't ban him. This is the current state of things in America. And by the way, it can be as simple as somebody going, oops. Except the federal government never says oops. They never say I'm sorry. Of the 300 complaints, the last 300 complaints filed against FBI agents with the OPR, their internal affairs unit, not one was upheld. Not one was upheld. According to the Department of Justice, FBI agents don't make mistakes. That's a real thing. FBI checks wrong box, places student on no-fly list. Now, by the way, if you know about this case, it took 7 years of litigation for this poor girl to find out about this, and the witnesses that she was going to bring in for the trial were put on no-fly list the week before so they couldn't come in. Yeah, it's funny, you know, witness in a no-fly trial, put on a no-fly list. It's not so funny. It's not so funny. This is a new country. This is a new way of doing things. Dissent, inconvenience in governmental agencies is not tolerated anymore. And you need to start thinking about your information and your lives differently. This is not a happy talk we're going to be having today. So, you want to be an informant. To be an informant, you have to A, have information, B, deliver the information. And by the way, I'm going to stop saying informant, I'm going to start saying whistleblower. In my world, it's informant. In your world, it's whistleblower. So, how easy is it to figure out who a whistleblower is? Ridiculously easy. Ridiculously. Who has access to the information? That takes it down from 300 million people to 20. When was the information delivered? How do you deliver the information? How do you get the information and deliver it to the person you want to blow the whistle to? The Washington Post reporter, the WikiLeaks Dropbox, whoever. How do you do that? Follow-up questions. What happens if the reporter needs to get in touch with you? Hey, this is fascinating, but here's 87 things I don't understand. One reason why Snowden, who again I'm not a fan of, was so successful is he's interactive with the reporters. He sat down with them, he answered all the questions, you can reach him on the phone, you can video chat with him. Choke points. Choke points are where privacy invasion and government stifling of dissent meet. Choke points mean for me to get this secret information from point A to person B, I had to do one of a number of things. I had to call them. I had to email them. I had to go visit with them. I had to send them a letter. These are choke points. You can work backwards if you're a good governmental investigator. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've done dozens of industrial espionage cases, which are essentially the same thing. Here are your problems. Cameras, drones, facial recognition, info capture. Cellular phones are the big paradigm changer. Massive databases, nothing being thrown away. Profiling of persons, and the last is the most important. We're actually going to probably cut out about 100 of the slides so I can make sure that I'm talking to you about de-anonymization. You think that if you use Tor, and if you use a public Wi-Fi to connect to the Tor, and you use a clean laptop that you've scrubbed and you're only using for your whistleblowing, you can't be identified. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's now device fingerprinting. There's now forensic linguistics, which lets me identify who wrote something just by massive comparison of other posts to the net. There are dozens of ways that you can be de-anonymized. One critical point I'd like to make before we really start rolling. When I used to give this talk, I used to say, you know what? We're only going to talk about private databases, stuff that I have access to and other PIs have access to and a skilled hacker has access to. We're not going to talk about any of the governmental databases. Let me tell you why that's not a valid thing to say anymore, because there's no difference. The U.S. government today outsources its privacy invasion. Axiom, InfoUSA, all the three credit bureaus, Google, Facebook, especially Microsoft, including Skype, all provide information to the U.S. government. All. There is no difference. If you put something on Facebook, it's the same as you CCing it to the NSA. There is no difference. And one thing that Snowden talked about, which was important, anybody who doesn't share or who doesn't share quickly enough with the government says, no problem. They tap a cable, they write a script, and they suck it up. I can tell you that I have a computer in my office doing nothing, 24/7, 365, but grabbing Facebook pages. Nothing. I have millions and millions and millions and probably tens of millions of photos in my office, and I'm going to show you some stuff. I guarantee you that the U.S. government has every single Facebook page, every single one with every single entry. And it's already been reported they tapped the cables right into Facebook, the data pipes right into Facebook and right into Google. Anything that you put up on the Internet, there's no segregation anymore. There's no private information, public information. There was a case, USA versus Jones, where the Supreme Court quite correctly said, if you put a GPS device on a car, you've got to have a warrant. Can't do that anymore. FBI said, no problem. they just started going to the phone companies and getting the GPS devices off the phones, which is 100 times better. It's with you all the time. If you leave a car, you leave the GPS on the car. Nobody leaves their phone. 64% of people in America sleep next to their cell phone. 64% of those same 64% of people check their cell phone the first thing they do when they wake up. Maybe they scratch themselves, and then they check their cell phone. Nobody makes a secret about it. Here is Fed, hold on, let me use the really good pointer. FedBizOps.gov, these are business opportunities. Things that, these are RPFs, requests for purchases, things that the United States government wants. This one, I mean, they announce what they're doing. They want to grab YouTube clips and video everywhere on the web and have interpretation of that, which I can tell you smart cameras can already do. People are fighting, people are driving, people are at a demonstration, people are doing it, giving an interview. You can now run a clip through analysis, and actually run millions of clips through analysis, and it will say, this is a clip with Bob Jones, and he's at a demonstration. Not a problem. All of the major companies have special governmental units for selling stuff to the governments. Here's, by the way, Google Government Services. Now, the funny thing is, by the way, there's an outfit called Pando. And when they put that up, Google immediately took down all the things they're doing for the government and just put up a generic page. They're still doing the same stuff. Facebook, let me tell you, Facebook is profiling and analyzing its members now in a way you can't even imagine, beyond what Big Brother dreamed. It's determining from postings and from content and from phrases your politics, your friends, your family, your associates, whether you're an activist or not, what you believe in, what you do. Here's keywords, parents to their adult children. These are keywords that they've determined indicate a parent to adult children relationship. Here's a parent to younger child. By the way, I had to emphasize that. One of the things is eye out. Like, if you keep running with that, you're going to take your eye out. That's, I can testify that is something a parent says to a small child. And why are these companies, why is Google and Facebook and Microsoft and whatever doing this? One reason and one reason alone. They don't care about you. They don't want to know about you. Believe me, Zuckerberg is off, you know, slaughtering a chicken or whatever he's doing. He doesn't care. He wants to make money off of you. That's it. And the biggest possible customer is the U.S. government. And the U.S. government is right now not just gathering information, they're determining how to use it to influence people and to direct events, how to make a mob that's going left go right, how to make people support policies. It is the most insidious evil thing imaginable. And Facebook wants to get U.S. government contracts. So recently, they ran a test. If we put certain postings, if we take in the name of your friend, and we send you a certain type of posting, will that make you do X? Will it make you do Y? And they tried it a million times. This news just came out very, very recently. Why is Facebook doing this? Because they want to make you happy? Because they want to make you sad? No, they want to give customers, with a reason to use this, the ability to influence people's emotions and actions. Facebook has a cell phone now. A cell phone is the biggest privacy invader there is. Facebook has a cell phone that can turn on the microphone, can listen to words, can determine what you're doing, what music you're playing, what TV. They say it's what music you're listening to, what TV show you're watching, so on and so forth. I don't care what the reason is. I really don't. This is outrageous. Facebook is profiling people in new ways. This is all new stuff. They are matching people. They are developing marketing that is the most finely targeted marketing imaginable. If I want a tap dancing Chinese grandmother in Milwaukee, they can give me 20 of them. It's amazing. Look-alike audiences. Facebook involves friending people and associating with people. Unless you are a remarkably open-minded person, which 99% of the world is not, you associate with people who are like you, who think like you, who like the things you like, who believe what you believe. If I don't know anything about you and I see your 10 closest friends, I know everything about you. And that's a fact. You can send Facebook a list of numbers. They will tell you everything about the person at that number. Metadata? Metadata is child's play compared to what Facebook does. And I have to say, before we continue, I've always said one thing during these talks. I am not going to express a personal or a political opinion. I'm not going to tell you what I think you should think. I am going to tell you what I think you should think about. I'm going to modify that a little bit because things are serious today. And I want to say this. If you're horrified by NSA gathering your metadata, you should be insane. You should be marching with pitchforks and torches about what Google and Facebook is doing. Because number one, let's face it, they have less right and less need for it. I mean, the U.S. government, no matter what you say, is doing some good stuff, like fighting heroin importation, fighting Al-Qaeda. I mean, there must be something that the U.S. government does that makes you, that you will acknowledge, makes you safer, makes this a better, freer place. I mean, we can have this type of discussion. Trust me, if we wanted to go and meet with Mr. Snowden and have this conversation in Russia, not going to happen. Not going to happen. America's a unique, pretty wonderful place, in my opinion. A lot of room for improvement lately, but a pretty damn good country. And the U.S. government is using this information for that. I'm not being a shill for them. I'm just putting it out there. And I'm putting it out there to compare it. What the hell is Facebook doing with this? They're selling you T-shirts with cats' pictures on them. I mean, would you rather give out your personal information to be safe or to buy a T-shirt? It's a ridiculous example, but if you're upset about the U.S. government doing this, honestly, the one opinion I'll express today, you should be insane about Facebook and Google doing it. Amazon? Amazon is the new repository for CIA data files. And at the same time, there's an Amazon phone, and if you look at what Amazon Fire TV does, it has a microphone. It listens. You cannot turn the microphone off. It sends your commands and your speech to the Amazon servers. Can't do anything about it. Nothing. And by the way, there's no off switch. There's no off switch. They learned something from the iPhone. You can't power it off that easily. Now I'm going to start speeding up. I just want to say that I give a two-day seminar on this general topic, which is called computer-aided investigation. What investigators and law enforcement and special agents need to know to use these tools. I'm giving you guys the Reader's Digest version of this, and I still can't fit in more than about 10%. And by the way, there's some stuff I wouldn't mention also, but never mind. Again, these are the key issues today. Cell phones, indexing videos, speech to text, cameras, efforts to create target marketing, but especially your data is worth money. Google and Facebook and Microsoft and everybody else out there will do whatever they can to get you to tweet and check in and blog and post and contribute as much of your life and as many of your photos and every other bit of data as you can. They will push you and urge you and tell you, hey, your friends posted 5 more photos. Why don't you tag these photos for us? It's worth money. It's always about money. Always. And there is no forgetting. Nothing. No data ever goes away. This is a slide I've put up every time I've spoken for the past 8 years. This is a guy who tweets every minute of his life. And you know what? It's not that unique. I look at some people that tweet 50 or 100 times a day. I mean, there are people with 20,000 tweets. How is that possible? I mean, first of all, their thumbs... never mind. Facebook. 1 out of every 5 minutes you spend online, you spend on Facebook. 1 in 2 minutes on social sites on Facebook. People on Facebook are terrorized into using their real names, their ages, their email addresses, and to contribute and to contribute, and it's never thrown away. Never. And Facebook is colonizing the web. That's their term, not mine. Every time you click on a like button, every time you use your Facebook login to log in to make a comment or to log into another site, you contribute to the massive store of data that Facebook has. Open graph. And Facebook has absolute contempt for you. Every time you push Facebook back a little bit, every time they take one step back in terms of privacy, believe me, while you're not looking, they do 2 steps forward. And it's not just actual subscribers. They are building shadow profiles of everyone who's not on Facebook, everyone who you reference in your posts, everyone through marketing databases they connect to you, or buying up the entire TransUnion credit bureau file they can connect to you. They know, even if your mom and your dad and your sister and your brother and your wife or your husband or whatever aren't on Facebook, they know who that person is. Everything. And by the way, your friends rat you out. This is a Facebook warning, which I guarantee you maybe 1% of even this room has seen. This is all the information that your friends contribute on you. If you don't put it out there, other people do. Facebook bought Face.com. Probably at that time the best facial recognition program in the world, and they've made it even better. And let me tell you why. And now I get to really use this green thing. I don't know, can you see this little tiny dark thing there? That's all the photos held by the U.S. Library of Congress. Okay, next one, Instagram. These are Instagram photos. Next, Flickr, and this is Facebook. There are, and this is an actual, so help me goodness, statistic, 1 billion photos uploaded to Facebook every week. 1 billion. I know I should do the little pinky thing. 1 billion photos. But it's not funny. 1 billion photos, all of which are tagged and identified and facially recognized, and add to this incredible store of intelligence agency level intelligence about you. People post everything. I don't know how many of you remember this. Guy duct taped his kid for talking back to him. And he posted it on Facebook. Now, by the way, of course, he got locked up. He lost custody of his kid. But what the hell? I have pictures I can show you of people who robbed a bank in South Carolina and put up on their Facebook page holding the money, a gun, and a bottle of liquor. You know, I'm gonna zip through a lot of this, but Facebook, both, and I know I'm gonna forget to mention this because I have speaker Alzheimer's today, but let me tell you, even if you don't make a posting, both Facebook and Google save your drafts. If you're just typing, even if you don't save the draft, if you delete it, it's still there. I want to tell you that I've seen law enforcement subpoenas executed on Facebook and on Google. And what was returned and the sources of it, some of it I'm not going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you that it is such critical information and such remarkable information that major law enforcement agencies today task an agent to do nothing but be their Facebook agent and their Google agent, sit in the Facebook and Google headquarters and handle all the requests for information and expedite the really, really important ones. I can tell you, if you go and you pull up a thing on Google to start writing an email, and you change your mind, even if you don't save it as a draft, you start typing and you say, nah, I'm not going to say that. It's saved. And there's a lot of examples like that. A lot of examples. Facebook is going to be a telephone company. Facebook announced its phone. Facebook is going to be successful at it because they have more money than God, and they understand that 85% of Facebook traffic today is on mobile devices. So they already know a lot about you. They get the information from your phone, but they want it to be their phone. And by the way, 87% uses Android. And I mean, this is during Zuckerberg's deposition, during the famous Winklevoss litigation. This is what Zuckerberg said about his original Facebook. I don't know why they give me all this stuff. They trust me, dumb fucks. Let's talk about Google, and we're going to zip through this like mad. Google has enough storage space to keep every web page in RAM. In RAM. Google has 600 PhDs. Google uses more power than the entire city of Salt Lake City. At two points during the past 2 years, they had more ready cash on hand than the U.S. government. That's no fooling. No fooling. Google is not just search. Google is everything. Everything. Groups, Gmail, Google Voice, Android on 87% of the phones. If you use Chrome, if you use Google as an ISP, if you're in Kansas City, you have an unbelievable, wonderful, or Tulsa, or any one of the places where Google Fiber has been put in, you have an unbelievable connection. You have super whiz-bang fast connection for almost nothing. And Google views all your damn traffic. And this is what they want to do. They want to know everything that you do and everywhere you go and everything you look at and every interest you have. Not because they're big brother, because your eyeballs are worth money. They want to sell you stuff. And they're making billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they know on a regular basis your physical location. And they never throw that away. NSA metadata pisses you off? Nothing compared to Google. And frankly, nothing compared to Facebook or Twitter either, which I'm going to demonstrate. Every time you use an app, you download an app, you express an interest, it adds to their store of knowledge about you. You check for apartments in Brooklyn. You go to Yelp and find a Chinese restaurant. You search for an abortion clinic. You search for an address at 2 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock at that address, there's an Occupy Wall Street demonstration. They know everything there is to know about you, or it's only one step away from extrapolating to that. Everything, everything, everything. By the way, is anybody in here wearing Google glasses? Are you? Okay, somebody punch this guy in the face for me. I'm advocating violence, and I'm paying for violence. No, I'm kidding. You know what? In today's environment, I you can't even make a joke. You can't even make a joke. I don't care if you have Google Glass. Google Glass, shut down. Did it work? Okay, never mind. Google now has peer-to-peer monitoring of cell phones. If I don't know exactly where your cell phone is at, because the GPS-A didn't kick in, it's only GPS, and I can only tell within 1,000 feet, or 1,000 yards, rather, no problem. I know you're right next to Bob's cell phone, and I know where Bob's cell phone is at. This is a patent filed by Google, using other cell phones to monitor other cell phones. I mean, it's a mesh setup, it's nothing unique, but it's being used for monitoring and data gathering now by Google. And tell the truth, is there a single person in this room who wouldn't be outraged, who wouldn't be throwing things if the NSA was doing this? But Google, yeah, we're cool with it. Hey, do no evil, right? We'll get to that. Everything. For those of you who used Goog 411, you know, find me, Hotel Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, did you say Transylvania? And finally, they made it perfect. And they did that for only one reason. Not because they love you. Not because they wanted to give you real, you know, free 411 and save you $1.95. It's because they wanted to use your input millions and millions and millions of times to perfect perfect speech-to-text so they could run conversations for the government and sell it. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. I'm going to zip through this, but I'm going to tell you that Google uses every damn trick they can. They put out the best damn APIs. They want you to interact with their system because they get more information. They want you to design for them. They want you to use the Google URL shortener. Why? Because everybody who clicks on it, A, you've directed them to that, and B, they know what you're interested in because you've used that particular URL shortener. Google Glasses. Google patent filing would identify faces in YouTube. It's not news anymore. But if the NSA did this, you would freak. Google did it, you're cool with it. I don't get that. Google is a private industry. You have no control over their data. Once the information goes into Google, it is a private business record. In fact, the U.S. government can track you 24/7 using telco information because it's private business records. They can't put a GPS on your car. But Google started with satellites, GOI, about 5 years ago. Google has now bought up a company, and they are going to have 50 satellites in orbit by 2017. Google will have more satellites in orbit than the entire United Kingdom. Okay. Everybody uses Google. I tell people there are two Rambam's laws. Rambam's law number one, you are what you Google. Everybody Googles their name. Everybody Googles their address. Everybody Googles their phone number. 31% of people, God knows why, Google their social security number. I have no idea why. Now I know y'all are going to do it, and it'll go to 32%. People Google how to commit murders. People, a husband and wife arrested about 2 weeks ago because their son died in a hot car. The dad is in trouble because he Googled leaving a child in a hot car. These people, this little girl is dead. A couple of people strangled her. These two knuckleheads Googled how to strangle somebody. Everybody Googles everything. Let's talk about do no evil because I want to make my point. Google does whatever the hell it wants. It does not care about you. It does not like you. It wants money. It is an avaricious, rapacious machine of capitalism like has not existed since the coal and railroad companies of 100 years ago. Now, by the way, as an avaricious, rapacious capitalist, good for them. But it still sucks what they're doing to people. Street View. They had to be sued to take people's faces out of Street View. They actually fought it. Book scans and copyrights. You're a writer. You bleed for 3 years putting together a book. You copyright it. You put it out there. You're selling it. And Google, in violation of every copyright law in the world, just says, thank you, scans it and puts it up on Google Books. We're helping you. We're helping you. If people are looking for, the phrase vampire at midnight, we'll send them to your book. The head of the publishing industry had a great quote. He says it's like somebody breaking into your home and saying it's okay because he cleans your kitchen. That's not how it works. There's copyright. Misuse of trademarks. If I'm Pepsi Cola and I want to buy a trademark for Coca-Cola, if I outbid Coca-Cola, I get the ad word. Contempt. The all-mail folder, monitoring, street view. Going onto private roads, going into private businesses, scanning every copyrighted book, grabbing every news. Newspapers are dying. Newspapers are dying. And Google is one of the big reasons. You can go to Google News and read any article without buying the newspaper. Google Street View, by the way, let me zoom in on that for you. There you go. Apparently it's okay if they take a photo. Data harvesting. They sent out Google Street View cars, sucking up passwords, sucking up Wi-Fi locations. Why? They need those damn Wi-Fi locations to position your phone if the GPS doesn't kick in. That's their version of Skyhook. Apple put a provision, a function in Safari where you could click Do Not Track, where you could mess with cookies so you couldn't be tracked. Google said, I don't care. And they put a workaround into it. And 2 years later, they pay a $17 million fine. It's hilarious. They made $200 million getting this information from Apple users, and they paid a $17 million fine. Just a show of hands, I'm curious, because this was actually news to me until a year ago. How many people know what the all-mail folder is? I love my hackers. About half the room. Any other audience, it would be like one guy. You delete mail in Google. You think it's deleted, right? Nope. They just move it to the all-mail folder where it sits there forever. For those of you who didn't know about the all-mail folder, open up Google, look at everything you think you deleted in the all-mail folder. It's obnoxious. It's really, really obnoxious. Why does Google do this? Not because they really care about you or they want to invade your privacy or they want to be Big Brother. They want to sell you stuff. They want advertising revenue. And they suck you in with so many free services that after a while you have what's called in the investigative community Google addiction. You're not going to leave Gmail. Imagine you have to come up with a whole, you have to give all your email correspondence your new address. Google Voice, you have to give everybody your new phone number. Everything in Google Docs and in Google Drive and everything. It's a pain in the ass. You're never going to leave Google. It's a pain in the butt. And Google is very, very open. We can suggest what you should do next, what you care about. Imagine. We know where you are. We know what you like. A near-term future in which you don't forget anything because the computer remembers. If I look at enough of your messaging and your location and use artificial intelligence, we can predict where you're going to go. Show us 14 photos of yourself and we can identify who you are. You think you don't have 14 photos of yourself on the internet? This is Eric Schmidt, Google's CEO. They're upfront about it. Hey, we're screwing you, but we're doing it because we like you. Everybody does the same thing. Amazon knows everything about your likes, your dislikes, your finances, and your actual physical address. Have you ever noticed if you're reading something on a Kindle, you stop at page 148, you reopen it on your iPhone, and you're at page 148? Magic, right? Wonderful. It's because they watch you read. And everything that you highlight in every major ebook reader, you're sending that highlighting to the mothership. Amazon, Apple ebooks, they know what you're interested in. Banking. Everybody's horrified that the U.S. government knows everything about your finances, that there's something called FinCEN that gathers all your financial data together. Horrible. Let me tell you, 75% of the identity checking and financial data gathering that the U.S. government uses is gathered by Equifax Banking Services, a credit bureau. And they sell this information. When I'm hired by a client, hey, find me somebody's bank account, the first thing I do is I pull an Equifax banking report on them. I see what banks check to see if Bob is really Bob. Probably Bob has a bank account there. Sometimes I even get Bob's safe deposit box there. Rambam's law number two. All data will eventually be used for unintended purposes. You may think you're putting something out there that's innocuous and unimportant. Wrong. It can be repurposed, and we're going to talk about that. I'll give you a perfect example. I track down fugitives and missing kids all the time using Domino's and Papa John's. You call Domino's, I know where you are. You had a pizza delivered there. You think you're on the run with your cell phone? I can't ping it because you turned it off? No problem. Sooner or later, you're going to order a pizza if you're under the age of 21. The Holy Grail, there's two Holy Grails for investigators and marketing companies. Your picture and where you are and what you do when you're there. And all of these things track. Microsoft, Apple Store, even Windows Media Player. Everything, if you use We, if you use a browser, I mean, every time that you log in, every time that you authenticate, and even when you don't, even We reports where you are and what you're doing. TiVo, TV, everything. You drive a car, EasyPass, SunPass, OnStar. Most of the stuff you guys know, but you don't know that this all gets aggregated into larger databases of information. Unique serial numbers in everything. We're going to talk about this. Every single damn thing that you do digitally generates or is from something that has a unique serial number. GPS is now good enough that I can not only tell what corner you're on, what intersection, but which of the four corners in that intersection you're standing on, especially if you're in New York. Cell phones, and I'm sorry if I'm zipping through this, but we started late, and I want to end at 8 o'clock. I want to end the presentation at 8 o'clock and go to Q&A. And by the way, if anybody had any questions from the earlier event, which I thank you all very much for attending, you can ask questions on that too. Right now, everybody is migrating to cell phones. Facebook. As Facebook tilts to mobile, 575 million people around the world use the social network every goddamn day. Three quarters of a billion people report their location, their exact location within meters to Facebook every day. Google services, 87% of the people who use Google. Guy's looking at his cell phone right now. I hope you're turning off location services. Amazon just introduced the cell phone the other day. This is the name of the game. And they're doing everything that they can do to hoover up your location every possible way. If you're in an urban area, they use Skyhook. They use Wi-Fi. They use P2P location. They use everything they possibly can to determine where you are 24/7. Why? Because they want to see what you're doing, what's of interest to you. If every Thursday you eat Chinese food for lunch, I guarantee you, within a year, you're going to be seeing things like you walk past your usual Chinese restaurant, you're about to go in, a coupon pops up on your screen. Hey, Julie, don't go into Big Wong's. One block down, there's Big Fung's, and here's a coupon for 50% off. Not because they really care that you eat Chinese, but they've got a deal with Big Fung's, and everybody who goes in and uses the coupon that they put on your phone, on your smartphone, they get a piece of the action. That's why they want to know. I want to tell you, and Bernie S., who introduced me, actually worked on this case with me, and a couple other people in this community. There was a 13-year-old girl who had been abducted by a, lured by a pedophile to Philadelphia, and we caught him, and she was on the run, and she ended up with another pedophile. We found her 1 o'clock yesterday. How did we find her? We found, thank you. But here's how we found her, old school and new school. We knew she was on MeetMe. We did a connection to her on MeetMe and on Instagram. We saw when she was logging in. Law enforcement contacted me. Law enforcement has no idea what MeetMe is. Suffolk County Police Department, great guys, but they're clueless with tech stuff. So we said, okay, here's their legal contact. Contact them, get us the IP addresses. We got back all kinds of crap. They couldn't trace the IP address. We went on a couple of public services that record every Wi-Fi address and where it is, every Wi-Fi IP address. We found their exact location in Media, Pennsylvania. It was the public theater there. We sent a bunch of guys out with wanted posters. Traffic cop, a meter maid, found her the next day, grabbed her. She broke away. There was a big chase. We had her in custody 1 o'clock yesterday. And we did it by tracking her IP address. NavTech is an example of what's possible. They logged the GPS location of every business and every address. Every business and every address. If I know your GPS location, and I'm going to show you with T. Profit and some other people what I sneaky thing I did before the Hope Conference, they know, is there a parking lot, is there a bar? It's good enough to the point where GPS trackers put on people who are on parole for DUI will alert the parole officer if they go near a car rental agency or a bar. It's that good. It's that good. If you have a GPS in your car, you go find the nearest gas station. Find the Chinese restaurant. That's how it's able to do it. They've got the GPS location of every single one. A cell phone will report to me your location history, who you hang out with, where you go. Do you go to a demonstration? Do you go to an abortion clinic? Do you go to a bookstore at 10 o'clock at night? Are you alone? Are you with somebody else? Are you getting on an aeroplane? Cell phones tell me every damn thing I need to know about you. As an investigator, if I have your cell phone stuff, I own you. You're owned. And I got to tell you, you're pissed off because the U.S. government has your location data. A, not such a big deal. I think everybody knew they had it anyway. And B, Google and Facebook have exponentially more connected to your cell phones. Here's tower location data. I know everywhere this guy is. Everywhere. P2P pinging. It's not just your cell phone connection. It's not just when your cell phone is telling a tower, hey, here I am, here I am. You're also broadcasting your Wi-Fi, and you're also broadcasting your Wi-Fi activity. There are now law enforcement and military and police programs that can target a geographic location. If I want, I can target the Hotel Pennsylvania, and I can identify every cell phone in this room. I can identify 95% of the people attending a Steve Rombaum talk. No problem. I can identify 95% of the people that walk into a high crime location, a crack house. I can identify 95% of the people who attend a perfectly legal demonstration. This is social This is social networking activity. This is social networking activity. This is social networking activity. And by the way, once you have the people who are doing social networking on that location, you go to their social networking sites, their Twitter, their you can see what they're logging in through. Is it Twitter? Is it Facebook? Is it Google Plus? What the hell is it? And you can see exactly what they're doing and exactly what they're posting. Silly things like this. There's an actual case where Al-Qaeda got tweets with geodata and shot a mortar at the location because they knew that there were soldiers there that were bored and tweeting. That's an actual case. Don't believe me? Look it up. Here we go. And by the way, it's not just that. just as a goof, we've developed a product for private investigators called GeoTwit that allows you to find, to put a guy's name in there and track him through through Twitter and track him through Facebook. I can get your location activity, and very often your pretty current location, without leaving my desk by backdoor pinging your phone through this sort of thing. I just put in, through Google's API, we just wrote a script, everybody who put in HopeX and generated their geographic location. Now, by the way, T-Profit was kind enough to say, yeah, I don't care, put it up there. I mean, this is where he was. We know that he was at either at the LAX terminal or driving on the 101 or whatever, talking about going to Hope. This is his exact GPS data, I think last week, from a tweet. Here's another guy. I understand his name's Silverberg. I'm sorry, Mr. Silverberg, I didn't ask you about this. I didn't know who the heck you were until Bernie told me today. This is Hope's vendor coordinator. Wonderful guy, great human being. Please don't sue me for privacy invasion in any way you can't. This is public information. But I ran him through the Twitter API. Not only did I get his exact location, I got his house, and Google was kind enough to pull me up a picture of his house. So, Mr. Silverberg, be glad I'm not your stalker. And turn off your location data. Please turn off your location data. You report your location all the damn time. If you're mad at the IRS, you should be insane about Twitter and Facebook and Google. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And every single tweet is now public record. I can FOIA every tweet you ever made. That's really annoying, dude. But you knew that. Come on, they've got a DVD. You buy the DVD, give some money to Hope. Okay, anyway. Sorry for the digression. I'm going to have to use my laser pointer on this guy. Yeah, the green one, exactly. Not even the red one. Every tweet ever made, back to tweet number one, is turned over to the Library of Congress. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it's great, you know, citizenship that they're willing to do that. It tells enormous things about the world and how things evolved and what people cared about. 100 years from now, people are going to be able to look at these tweets and learn remarkable things. And demented things too. Yeah. But remarkable things, because honestly, social movements get tweeted, politics get tweeted, everything that people care about and that are trending topics get tweeted. It's really obvious. But on the other hand, if I grab all these tweets, which I can assure you I've already filed a FOIA request to get every tweet in the hands of the Library of Congress, I will know everything that you do and everything you care about and everywhere you go. You've deleted your Twitter account. You haven't deleted it from the Library of Congress. You've gone off. You've turned off your location services. You know, you're no longer reporting your GPS. No problem. Before you did that, I got your house. No problem. Again, you can never make information disappear. Stop now while you can. Every damn Wi-Fi you connect from, unless you've really gone to the trouble of changing all your settings on every device, is saved. Now, here's an example, and I'm going to really zip through a lot of this. How many people here have an app, either Android or iPhone, called Flashlight? Not that many, thank goodness. About 50, I'm going to say, out of the hundreds or more people in this room. Of those of you that have Flashlight, how many of you read the terms of service? Two hands. One, two. Do you know that Flashlight, which does nothing more than display a white screen so you can see where you're walking? I mean, you can open an email, a blank email, and accomplish the same thing. It doesn't make your screen brighter. It just simulates a flashlight. You are transmitting your location. You are giving access to your camera. You're giving access to all your phone calls, and you're giving access to your UUID, your unique identifier, just for downloading this free Flashlight app. Why does Flashlight need your identity, your location, your camera, and all of these other intensely sensitive things? Because nothing is free. Yes, you've downloaded the free Flashlight app, and they're making millions of dollars off of you by harvesting this information. 45% of all apps report your location. A third of them access either your camera or your microphone. Why? No good reason. They want to make money off you. If you're mad at the NSA, you ought to be insane over this stuff. Here is, I put up that thing, Rabbi, before, that tracks you and reports on who you're hanging out with based on Wi-Fi. Here is the U.S. equivalent. It profiles you, it targets you, and it reports your behavior. And it combines your email, your web browsing history. It de-anonymizes your browser. It gets your tweets. It gets your social networking activity. Everything, and it puts it in one nice little package. There's now a federal word for this. Federal law enforcement now has something called data valence, where they surveil you and they know everything about you and where you are and what you do and who you hang out with just from data. It can even report, target has passed his phone onto someone else. Why do you think that is? Oh, gee, I'm going to leave my iPhone at home. I'm going to do like Snowden did. I'm going to put it in the microwave. I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat, and I'm going to get a drop phone from 7-Eleven. Within one day, anybody who really gives a damn about tracking you knows that's your drop phone. Because your drop phone spends the night in Bob's house, and the drop phone calls Bob's girlfriend, and the drop phone goes to Bob's job, and the drop phone goes to the bookstore that always Bob always goes to, and the drop phone is correlated with ALPR data in Bob's car. Devices have profiles. You have a profile. There is no such thing as anonymity. And it's a bitch to be a whistleblower, and we're going to get to that. Here is precise data everywhere you've gone and everything you've done. By the way, just for a test, they pulled in 1 billion records. Just a quick test, 1 billion records. The feds now have a term called community of interest. Community of interest. It's a bunch of people they want to check out. Sort of like a hacker convention. No joke. Hacker conference, Occupy Wall Street, bunch of people who don't like Obama. I mean, community of interest. This is their new term. And here is an example. And what is their program called for a community of interest? So help me God, the program being used by the feds now is called guilt by association. When I said before they have no sense of humor, one guy has a sense of humor. And this is what it looks like. This is link analysis. This is who you're talking to on the phone, who you're emailing, who you're visiting, who your Wi-Fi is near. Guys, thank you. As an investigator, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm a lazy guy. I like to make money for doing as little as possible. Thank you. As a fellow member of the hacker community and as a good American who believes in privacy and constitutional protections, are you out of your frickin' minds? Really? Where you go, what you do, what you can be sold. They even have mobile location value chains now. I mean, this is amazing. This is the main thing I want to point out, because we're going to go through this really fast. No device dependency. No device dependency. In English, what that means is, no matter what you're using, no matter your communication tool, no matter whether you switch phones, switched MAC addresses, switched your MiFi, switched whatever, they can identify you. And trust me, it really, really, really works. Really, really works. Cell ID, accuracy within 100 meters, assisted GPS, AGPS, which by the way is now called GPS-A, within 15 meters at worst. Speed, slowest 30 seconds. I know where you are exactly at worst 30 seconds ago. At worst. This is an actual ping that I did. There was a girl that went. She was sent by her job in Dallas to buy pizza. She went. They wouldn't take her credit card. She went to the ATM machine to take out money. She was on the photo taking the ATM took her photo, and she disappeared. Nobody saw her after that. Gone. Gone. Law enforcement wouldn't do anything because over the age of 18, you know, young women wander away from time to time. It's true. And cops are working on robberies and rapes and murders and whatnot. They're not going to, you know, worry about somebody just because her office is freaked out. We pinged her cell phone. We found her dead in her car. She had taken some of the money that she took out of the ATM. She bought pizza. She bought a lot of beer. It was hot. It was in Dallas. It was 106 degrees. She's sitting in the car with the AC on, windows rolled up. She's drinking. She drinks enough that she passes out. Car runs out of fuel. AC dies. She cooks in the car. But this is a ping. I was able to do this. If I can do this, well, I'm not the NSA, guys. Every single app that you download and you use tells me something about you. Barista, Cellfire, Compare Me, Loan Shark. You're looking for loans. You're looking for bars. You're looking for apartments. You're looking for jobs, whatever. Whatever you do tells me something about you. And it's buffered, and it's analyzed, and it's cross-referenced. Why? Because Apple makes billions of dollars putting things in front of your face and knowing things about you. And they have a division that does nothing but that, I add. You go, Siri, find me a porno house. They buffer that. Every single bit of data is saved and buffered. And your cell phone is a loyalty card and a payment device and a barcode reader and a store guide and an eBay or an Amazon portal, manufacturer syncing, retail object recognition, especially you, Mr. Google Glasses, backup of all data to the manufacturer. If you've got a Google phone, you can't, and an iPhone for that matter too, you can't, never mind you paid $600 for the damn phone and it's your address book. You want to sync, you got to sync through their program. If it's Google, you got to send it to the mothership and they send it back to your phone. Anyway. That is the size of the largest GPS now being used in phones. That is, it was much bigger. That has now been upgraded. Not that exact one, but ones like it. They're even looking at things like GPS darts. If somebody is a rioter, they shoot with an air rifle. They tag you like a moose so they can follow you from the riot. Right now, if a stolen car is evading the police and being chased, and it's not acceptable to continue the police chase, they just shoot the car with a dart, get stuck in the trunk, they follow it five blocks back, the guy thinks he's lost the cops, he ditches the car, they're on him like white on rice. It's unbelievable. They're developing something now called GPS dust. GPS dust that they're going to put on you, small enough that, you know, investigator walks past you, poof, until you change that shirt, I know everywhere you are. Two examples. One, WikiLeaks stock, fascinating. You got to read between the lines in WikiLeaks. The United States urged Afghanistan and Pakistan to enhance their cell towers and built new cell towers for them. Why? So they could track everybody. Shanghai, if you go to Shanghai, every single cell phone is tracked. And by the way, every single cell phone is registered, but that's another story. I spoke about USA versus Jones. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You can't put a GPS on a car. Everybody has their cell phone glued to their ass. It is their Star Trek communicator pinned to them. Okay. So,